like verse addresses, and that's pretty much all the verses are from the book of Proverbs. So I hit a lot of verses pretty quick. So if you're a note taker and you want to take diligent notes, they're all there for you. Before I open in prayer, I do want to make two announcements. One is after service, the chairs have to be stacked up for the ministries of the church this week. There is no MOPS or Moms Next, but there's children's ministries and youth group. And then also, we're having the men's retreat February 19th through 20th. And if you're a man and you would like to go, the sign-up information is in the foyer on the table. With all that said, I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn from your book the wisdom that we need to place in our lives so that we can serve you better, so that we can glorify you better, and so that our lives can be helped through the issues and the things that we'll deal with. So I pray now, Lord, that as we get into your word this morning and talk about the difficult issue of parenting, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us all to glean something from this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week I talked about the topic of happiness through the book of Proverbs. And what we're doing is we're kind of going through different topics in Proverbs till about Easter. This is something I started to do in 2009 and then continued in 2013. And now I'm continuing in 2016 because the book of Proverbs has a ton of different topics in it. So last week I talked about happiness. And the last point that I talked about was something that brings happiness is leaving a legacy for the next generation. And I said at that point, next week I'm going to talk about parenting. So let me start by saying this. This is not only a message for parents. This is really a message for anybody who has an important role in a child's life. Some of the things that I talk about, you will have no authority to do in that child's life, but other things will apply, which is passing down our faith to the next generation. So if you're an aunt, uncle, grandparent, work with the youth ministry, work with the children's ministries, work in the Sunday school ministry, you have some kind of a role in children's lives, then you will actually be able to apply some of the things. If you are younger and don't have children yet, like I said last week, take diligent notes because you have a clean slate. You didn't make any of the mistakes that we already made, so you have a clean slate. You can take notes. You can be in the group of people that says, you know what? Somebody told me this before I was a parent, and I knew it was going to be helpful, so I'm going to take notes and I'm going to return to this. If you are a child, if you are still under your parents' authority and jurisdiction, here's what I want you to get out of it. I don't want you to look at this and use it against your parents, okay? Hey, you're not listening to Pastor Mike. You got to be a better parent. Don't do that. That's kind of disrespectful to your parents. But what you can do is you can realize the role and responsibility that your parent has in your life, and you can actually make their roles and responsibilities easier on them. And I know some of you are like, why would I ever want to do that? You should want to do that. You should love your parents enough to want to make their job just a little bit easier. So the world has much to say about parenting. But before I get into what the scriptures say about parenting, most of us can agree on these four types of parents. And this won't be on the screen. I'm just going to tell you what these four types of parents, this is pretty much what you see, maybe what you've experienced in your life, maybe who you are. But the first type of parent is the authoritarian parent. These are the parents that make the rules. And if you break the rules, they usually punish you. And if you ask why that's a rule, they usually say things like this: because I said so. Okay? And you as a parent are thinking, valid excuse, valid reason, right? But you know what? Does that really work with children? Does that really work? Because I said so. The next is the authoritative parents. They are similar in the fact that they make the rules, that they enforce the rules, and they might discipline when a child breaks the rules. But the difference with these parents are they actually have a conversation. They explain to the children why what they're doing is not going to be helpful for them. They explain to the children that, you know what, this discipline is important because it gets you on the right path. They're more conversational in the way they parent. They pretty much tell the kids, you know, hey, this is why we have to do these things. This is why we have these rules. There's, rather than just saying, because I said so, they actually tell the reason why. The third is the permissive parent. They're the laid back ones, more of a friend type. You know, these were the, this was the kid that you went to his house and slept over his or her house all your life. You know, like, let's go to their parents. Let's go to that house because they're cool. They don't care what we do. They let us do whatever we want. So that's the permissive parent. There's not much discipline there. They're, you know, pretty concerned about, you know, being laid back, being cool. I want my kids to think that, like, I understand where they're coming from. You know, they're that type of parent. And then the fourth is the uninvolved. And, you know, they are on the side of neglecting their kids. The uninvolved parent, you know, they're sitting at home watching TV at 10 o'clock at night, and that ad comes on. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? And they're like, oh, yeah, I have kids. That's right. Where are they? You know, because do you ever find it comical when you see that advertised? Like, really? Okay, we're advertising this now? So this is the uninvolved parent. You know, they're just so hands-off. They don't even know what their kids are doing. So today, what I would like to teach you from God's Word is we're going to learn about being a biblical parent. A biblical parent. And there are two main roles that a biblical parent has, and that is to provide guidance and to institute discipline. To provide guidance and institute discipline. And we're also going to learn why these two things are so crucial and important to your children, or to your grandchildren, or to your nieces and nephews, or to your Sunday school class, or to your youth ministry. Why these are so unbelievably important. So the first thing I would like to look at is this. A biblical parent provides guidance. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And realistically, Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest guy who walked the face of the earth, except for Jesus. And he basically was passing his wisdom down to his son and to the next generation. But we, as Christians, could take this as God speaking to us, passing his wisdom to us. And the whole theme of this series is to know and understand wisdom. So we don't only want to know it, but we want to understand it enough to actually place it into our lives. So a biblical parent, first and foremost, provides guidance. And I want to look at Proverbs 1, verse 8. It says this: "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching." So right out of the gate here, the Proverbs remind us this is a biblical parent talking to their child. Solomon to his son and saying, hey, you know what? Listen to my teaching and listen to your mother's teaching. Isn't it such a blessing to have this role in someone else's life that you can pass down wisdom? Isn't it such a blessing to have someone that went before you to pass down their wisdom to you? Some of you had great parents that did that. Others of you may have felt that I didn't have that, and it would have been such a blessing if I did have that. So what I would like to do is look at a few things of why providing guidance is so important to our children. So the first is this: it's beneficial for the child. Let's look at verse 9, okay? Proverbs 1, verse 9 says this: "For they are a graceful garland for your head, and pendants for your neck." So here's what this passage is saying. Providing guidance is beneficial to the child, and here's how. It's like graceful garland for their head, like an Olympian who wins an Olympic prize. Like, people see that person with their Olympic prize, and they say, wow, they must have accomplished something. Wow, you're an Olympian? Or a person, a soldier who has a pendant on his arm. And, you know, people know that this person did something important. Well, here's what's going to happen. When we provide guidance for our children, it's going to benefit them for their lives. It's going to benefit for them for their lives. They're going to be known by some of the things that you taught them to do and they followed through with. So the wisdom that is passed down will benefit them. Here's what the commentator Matthew Henry said about this verse. He said, "The instructions and the laws of parents, carefully observed and lived up to, shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, such as an ornament as is in the sight of God, of great price, and will make the child look as great as those who wear gold chains around their necks. The things learned will be badges of first-rate honor. We should value them and be ambitious of them." So not only is this talking to parents, like, yeah, this is going to benefit the child, but for the child, they can look at the parents and say, you know what? I should really listen to what they have to say because they know something that I don't. They know something that's going to be beneficial to me. Most of you can agree, as adults, you can kind of look back and you can look at what your parents did in some areas and say, yeah, they were right. They were right. I fought them. I hated it, but they were right. Has anybody felt that way before? Anyone? Yeah. I think we've all, at some point in our life, said, you know what? Yeah, they were right. Well, they were right, and they were trying to help you. They were trying to benefit you. They weren't trying to harm you. They were trying to guide you into what they knew to be truth. See, we need to realize as parents, and especially as Christian parents, our first role is to make sure we are providing godly guidance to our children. Something that's valuable to them, that's going to bring honor to them, and really to us. So my question for you, if you're a parent, if you're actively parenting and you're actively doing this, how are you providing spiritual guidance for your children? Because you know what? I realize, and you know, I'm part of this community as well, a lot of people give a lot of guidance to their kids. They give a lot of guidance to their kids in schoolwork, in life skills, in sports or hobbies. They give guidance. I mean, my son, Tosh, he's in soccer. And, you know, he plays on a league. And you know what? We spend a lot of time with these other parents. And a lot of people put a lot of effort and energy into their kids' soccer. You might have noticed this in some other sport. There's a lot of time invested to help develop the skills of these children, right? But then let's back off a minute. Now you have to ask yourself a question. I might do all these things. I'm doing right by my kids because this is what you do. But how are you doing that spiritually? What are you doing spiritually for your children? I would venture to say the Bible says this is a first priority. But you know what? In our society, what happens is it becomes kind of down at the bottom. Maybe not last, but maybe second to last. So here are some steps you can take if you're not doing anything yet, or maybe you're doing a few things, maybe you'll glean some ideas from this. The first is you can bring them to Sunday school, youth group, or kids club. You bring them to a church ministry that's geared towards them so that they can learn more about what the Lord has to say. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't want to do that, like, you know, because my kid doesn't want to go. I don't want to force them. But, you know, but those same parents will say, okay, you know what? You don't want to go to baseball practice? Well, you join. That's a commitment. You have to go. But then when it comes to spiritual things, they'll be like, well, you know, I don't want to force them, you know, because then they might. Well, here's the problem. Your responsibility as a parent is to provide guidance. So you explain to them why it's important to them and why it's important to you. One of the things I have to say, in a sense, in a bragging moment, if you talk to any three of my kids, they love all the programs of the church. Some people would say, oh, you know what, pastor's kids, oh, they're forced to do something. My kids are not forced to do any of those things. They willfully decide to do those things. Why? Because they know their parents love it. Your kids will love what you love and hate what you hate if you haven't gotten that yet. They'll love what you love and they'll hate what you hate. So listen, provide that foundation for them in the sense of, you know what? It's going to be beneficial for them. So I know as a parent, these things are beneficial. So I'm going to do those things. Another idea is if they're very young, start doing daily devotions with them. Even if they're like 1 year old, bring them on your lap. Get a children's Bible and read to them. There's nothing more special than reading to your child the words of God, even in like a little children's Bible. Do that. If your children are a little older, encourage them to do that on their own. The YouVersion Bible app, it's actually built into our church app. The YouVersion Bible app has plans specifically for teenagers, reading plans, like 7-day plans, year plans, month plans. All these things are going to be beneficial for them. But you know what? They're not going to pick those things up on their own. They need somebody to guide them. So the benefit happens. Another thing is pray with your children. You know, from very little, pray with them before they go to bed, before they go out to school, pray with them. You know, and I know this gets increasingly hard as your kid gets older and you didn't do this. And then all of a sudden you come home from church. Pastor Mike said, I should pray with you. You're like 15. We're going to pray now, okay? And then the kids are like, oh, dad and mom's gotten weird. Well, yeah, you have, but for a good cause, okay? Here's the point, though. when your kid's going through something, they're having an issue at school, an issue with friends, you know, hey, you know, let's bring that to the Lord. You're modeling to them that this is what a Christian does. You know, it's such an amazing responsibility and amazing honor to know that you are the one person in this world that your child calls dad, that your child calls mom. What an amazing responsibility. Do you want to blow that? Do you want to blow that by not benefiting them as much as you can? So as a parent, here's what I want to say about the church, though. The church is here to assist you, but we can't do your job. We can't, you know, we do the best we can to assist families and to run ministries and kind of pick up where people left off or where people never started, but we can never truly do your job. You know, it's a sad day for me and for Pastor Steve and anybody else that works with the youth ministry when you have teenagers come up to you and say, you're kind of like the dad I never had, and their dad is alive and well. That's not like a pat on the back like, hey, I'm glad I'm doing a great job. That's a sad day for me as a pastor because I say, you know what? It's sad that their dad checked out. It's sad that their dad checked out because I'm not their dad. The youth leaders are not their dad or mom. So know this and be well aware that you have a special and amazing responsibility in your child's life. And while you are here on this earth, it is beneficial to them that you spend the time working with them and guiding them. But the second reason why providing guidance is so important is it really gives a foundation. It gives a foundation. You know, some of us look back at our life and, man, I wish I had a Christian foundation. I remember for me when I was 19 years old, I was 18 years old when I became a Christian. I was 19 when I was at Bible college. And the teachers would say something like, oh, you remember like the story of David and Goliath? I'm like, David and who? I'm like, look, I never learned that stuff. So here I am, 19 years old, studying to be a pastor, and I didn't know the children's story of the Bible. I didn't know the children's stories. I didn't know. All these other kids were like, yeah, David and Goliath, you know? I'm like, okay, who is this? Then I got to find out, you know? So here's the thing. If you don't have that foundation, it becomes difficult. So as a parent, you're there to provide the foundation. Listen to Proverbs 22:6. It says this, train a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. So here again, we see where the Proverbs, where I would suggest here, are truisms, okay? Is this 100% true all the time? I would say no, and here's why. Because each person has to make their own decision to trust in Jesus. Each person has to trust him with their heart. Their heart has to be softened and they have to trust. So here's what I'm saying. You're providing the foundation so they can make the right choice. And let me just say this to you. Some people will have this effect. I don't want to bring my child up in the faith or force anything on them because it might force them away from it. I think that is ridiculous, and here is why. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that Jesus Christ rose again to prove that he was God, if you believe that all who believe that will have eternal life, how could you not teach them that? Oh, you know what? Hopefully my kid finds out this stuff. Imagine that. It's absolutely ridiculous. People think they're going to chase their kids away from the faith by providing them a foundation in the faith. And you know what? There's a right way to do that. And granted, you're going to hear all the horror stories, but you and I both know, we know children and teenagers in this church that love the Lord, and their parents love the Lord as well. And they passed down that love for the Lord towards their children, and their children saw that their parents are real people who love the Lord, and they're the real deal. When they do studies on this, do you know who, like, one of the biggest groups of children that walk with the Lord are when it comes to careers? It's actually missionaries. You and I would think, that's a tough career, a missionary. A lot of people leave everything they know to go do ministry to a group of people that they never met before. They pull their kids out of American schools and go to different countries. But you know what they found? Instead of those kids being mad at their parents that they changed their whole lives, these kids are like, you know what? I saw how important my parents' faith was, and that passed down to me. These are the biggest group that walk with the Lord as far as some of the studies that they've done, which is so amazing. We would think it would be the opposite. But the truth of the matter is training up a child in the way they should go provides that foundation. But the question I always get is this, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And people have asked me this all the time, like, Pastor Mike, I really feel like I did the best job I could. I really feel like I raised my kid the way they should, but they're not walking with the Lord right now. What does that mean? Well, I would say two things here. It says, when he is old, when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. We don't know how old is, okay? That's the first thing, okay? Old could be 70, and you might never see that, okay? So we don't know how old is. But the second thing I will say to you is this. You did what you were supposed to do. God calls us to be faithful. We all know that faith is not something that we can force somebody into. But God calls you and I to be faithful as parents and do what's right by him. He says, train up your child. He says, provide that guidance. Well, then do it. Don't say, well, I know a friend who did everything right and their kid's 50 years old and they're not walking with the Lord, so I don't think I should do that. Don't do that. You're basing how you live on other people's experiences instead of the word of God. So as parents, we need to provide that guidance to give the foundation. And prayerfully, those children will wake up one day and say, I'm glad my parents did that because they taught me about really the most important relationship, which was a relationship with the Lord. Do you know when the biggest time that people start to come back to church? Do you know when the biggest time is? When they have kids. Why? Because they're scratching their head saying, I don't really know what to teach these kids. And it's so amazing. And I've seen it and you've seen it. When those little eyes look up at you and say, where did I come from? How did I get here? Is there a heaven? What happens when people die? And all those questions come. And those things that you put in that compartment that said, I don't really care about that stuff, or they told me about evolution, or I don't want to think about that. When you die, you just die. You're like, that sounds like a dumb answer when I tell my kid. When you die, you just cease to exist. That's it. Kid's like, really? That doesn't even make sense, Dad. Really? That's what you're going to teach your children? So the biggest time for people to come back to church is at that moment, because then they say, you know what? I want to teach my kid something, some kind of truth. And thankfully, I will celebrate this. We as a church here welcome families. That's why we do all the children's programs and all the Sunday schools, because you know what? Then the kids come in and the parents come in and they start to realize, okay, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. Jesus loves us. The simple truths of the Bible, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we start to realize what that love really means. So you know what? It gives a foundation. It gives a foundation. If you're wondering, should I be teaching my children this? Yes, you should, because it's providing a foundation for them. But the second role of a biblical parent is a little more controversial, and that's this. A biblical parent needs to not only provide guidance, but they also need to institute discipline. And I will tell you this, in 20 years of ministry, in 14 years of parenting, I've never, ever, ever, ever had a kid come up to me and say, you know what? I need a little discipline. Kids don't do that, okay? Why? Because discipline oftentimes hurts, and it's often difficult. And realistically, parents want peace in the home. So we shy away from discipline because sometimes it creates an unpeaceful environment for a time. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, my kid did this, and now I have to discipline them. Oh, I hate this. And you know what? Kids out there, young people out there, know this. Your parents do not enjoy discipline, okay? If they do, they might need to check into some kind of facility somewhere. That was a joke. Most people don't enjoy discipline, okay? Most people don't enjoy disciplining. Most people don't enjoy that. But most people realize that is necessary in order to help the child. So the question really we have to answer here is, a parent institutes discipline. Why is discipline so important? But before we find out why discipline is so important, I want to let you know that we're going to read a bunch of verses, and this term will come up in these verses, and the term is the rod, okay? And you might know these verses, the rod of discipline. And, you know, I'll just tell you, my parents divorced when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I spent a ton of time with my grandpa on my mom's side and my grandparents on my dad's side. And my grandmother on my dad's side, she liked this thing called a wooden spoon. Anybody ever hear of this? Okay. I'll just give you a little advice about a wooden spoon. Okay. It hurts more on the knuckles when you're trying to block. Okay. So, and here's what I would like to say about this issue of the rod and what the Proverbs say. In biblical times, the rod was used as a form of physical discipline for people. And it was not only for children, but for adults as well in some cases. We also see that a rod or a staff, a shepherd's staff, was used to guide the sheep and also to beat off the wolves. That's what we see scripturally. So then the question comes up, and it always comes up, in our culture, do you physically spank your children? And let me just tell you this. I'm not advocating one form of discipline over another form of discipline, but here is my counsel to you as a parent. You need to be a student of your child to see what works for your child as far as discipline goes. This becomes hard, doesn't it? Because you can't just open up any book and just say, or even the Bible, and say, okay, this is exactly how I need to discipline for this circumstance. There's different types of discipline for different types of circumstances and different types of children. I can tell you right now, as a parent of 2 boys and 1 girl, the boys are 12 and 14, and the girl is 10. If I were to say, okay, this is how you discipline boys and this is how you discipline girls, I would be wrong, because I have 2 boys and their discipline is kind of a little bit different because they have very different personalities. And I have 1 girl and her discipline is different because she is a girl and she has a different personality as well. So what parents have to do is, at every age, they have to be students of their children to see what communicates to them what needs to be communicated. Not only that, it's never a one-time decision because our children age, correct? So disciplining a teenager is very different than disciplining a toddler. So that's the important thing that we need to know about. There needs to be some sort of discipline. Whatever you feel led as a parent and praying about to do needs to be something that you and your spouse talk about and decide as you move forward and as you parent. But the non-negotiable in the Bible is this: there needs to be discipline. This free-range parenting, permissive parenting, uninvolved parenting, it's not biblical, okay? You don't just let your kids do whatever they want and hope for the best, okay? Because guess what? The best is not going to happen with that child. So, discipline now, why is it important? Why is it important to discipline our children? The first reason why it's important is this: it shows love. We know that as parents, the scriptures tell us this: the Lord disciplines those he loves, okay? The Lord disciplines those he loves. So I would ask, do you want to communicate love to your child? If that answer is yes, one of the ways that you can communicate love to your child is by instituting discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says this: he who spares the rod hates his son, or spares discipline, hates his son. But he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Don't fall into this trap of thinking, I want my kids to think I'm cool. I don't want to do anything that's going to mess the relationship up. I want them to feel loved, so I won't do anything that's going to make them uncomfortable for a season. Notice this passage says this: but he who loves him is careful to discipline, okay? Let me just say this. Careful to discipline means that we have to carefully consider what that discipline is. based upon their age, based upon what they've done. We have to look and say, what is going to best communicate to this child what they need to know here in this circumstance? We have to take into account their feelings. We have to take into account reasonable consequences and how this will show them love. The last thing you ever want to do as a parent is this: discipline out of anger, discipline out of revenge, discipline out of hate towards them, discipline out of bitterness. It's the last thing you ever want to do. You want to discipline out of love. You're looking at that child and saying, this is not the best for this child. This child has either made a bad decision, a bad mistake, a poor decision, is willfully disobedient, whatever it is. You have to look at them, and now you have to be careful. How am I going to show this kid love? How am I going to show this kid love? How am I going to show this kid that I love them, that God loves them, this isn't the best for them? So we want to communicate love to our children, but we also want to provide safety to them. The next thing is this: discipline provides safety. Discipline provides safety. Proverbs 19:18 says this: discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. That is a rough verse, don't you think? A willing party to the death of your child. So what he's saying is, listen, kids that lack parents that are willing to discipline in some way, shape, or form could be a willing party to their demise or their death in this case. This verse reminds us that there is hope for a child that has parents that want to protect them by disciplining them. Think about this. Say you have a toddler, 18 months old, and they run out into a busy street. You go and retrieve that toddler because you want to save their life, right? And then you turn your back and they run out again. And you want to save that toddler, so you go and retrieve them again. And they just don't get it. They just keep on running out there. Well, there needs to be some kind of discipline. Whether it's taking that child and putting it in a playpen and say, every time you run that way, you're going in here. And this is where you need to stay for a time so that you know not to do that. Everybody would agree, yeah, of course you're going to discipline your kid. Of course you're going to do something to stop this occurrence, because they will not listen. And the result, if they do not listen, is death. Literally, death in this circumstance. But here's what happens. Kids get a little older. They start to do things that, you know, their parents don't agree with. No, they're not going to be helpful. But, you know, if I say something, or if I discipline, what are you really going to do? You know, maybe they're choosing a group of friends that, you know, you're like, I know this group of friends is not good. And then some other parent taps you on the shoulder and says, your kid's hanging out with those kids? This is not going to be good. You know what those kids are into? Those kids are into drugs. Those kids are into it. You know, we've had red nights here in Lacey. If any of your parents have been to these things, they're a nice wake-up call for parents, okay? We've had speakers there at these red nights that have really come up and said, you know what? All the signs were there. Other parents were tapping me on the shoulder saying, you shouldn't let your daughter or son hang out with this kid or that group. Those kids are doing heroin. Those kids are doing this. Meanwhile, their kid overdoses and dies. But the parent now is faced with this: I wish I would have said something. I could have actually provided safety for my child. And I know, when, I mean, hey, think about it. If you have a teenager now, how would it go if you said, you can't hang out with these kids anymore? Is there peace in the house? No, it's hard, okay? But you know what? Like Ted Tripp said, parenting teenagers is like a rescue mission. You're constantly trying to rescue them out of the decisions that they're going to make. And, you know, when it comes to something like drugs, they're not even making decisions at this point. They're just pulled by their personal addictions. And now they're living a life of that. And, you know, and I don't wish that on anyone, and I hope nobody ever would. But here's the thing. We have to step up as parents in certain situations to provide safety for our children. But some fear that it's going to hurt their relationship or it's going to hurt their children. Proverbs 22, 13 through 14 says it this way: do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. So you know what that's saying? Is listen, it might hurt. There might be some turmoil in the household, but you might save that kid's physical life. You might save their spiritual life. You might save them from a life in prison. This is real stuff we're talking about here. The problems that you have with a toddler, will only be amplified if you don't start to discipline those toddlers. I can tell you that. The problem you have with a little child will only amplify as they get older if you as a parent don't provide a safe environment and discipline as they need it. It's truth. I'm telling you this. So this verse reminds us that discipline's not going to hurt them, so to speak, as much as the lack of discipline will. So we move on. Not only does discipline show love, but it also protects. It also protects, but it also corrects folly. Now, this is an interesting verse, and you might get a chuckle out of this. Proverbs 22:15 says this, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." You know, beat the fool, okay? Beat the fool out of the kid. What the verse is saying is this. The verse is saying, discipline will correct the continuation of bad decisions, of willful disobedience. Think about it this way. I like to think about it this way. In life, we know that disciplined study in any area will increase your knowledge in that area, correct? Disciplined study in any area will increase your knowledge in that area. If you want to pursue a career, you have to be disciplined in studying in that area so that you can achieve the goal of getting that career. Nobody's going to say, you don't just wake up and say, I want to be a doctor. I'm going to go on a job interview and be a doctor. Go into a hospital. I want to be a doctor. They're going to be like, okay, where are your credentials? What'd you learn? Nothing. Okay? Get out of here. Well, that's not nice. Let's let him be a doctor. And you know what? Let's let him do operations tomorrow, okay? That doesn't happen. You have to be disciplined in the study of the area to achieve the goal. Same thing with children. They're going to make decisions. They're going to make bad decisions. They're going to make wrong decisions. They're going to make dumb decisions. So here, they're not going to say, I need some discipline in my life. They're going to look to their parents. And their parents are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to provide you the discipline. I'm going to have that conversation with you. I'm going to correct you so you don't continue to repeat that folly. Your parents don't want you to be a fool. So they're going to correct you and say, no, not that way, this way. No, not that way, this way. And then that becomes a conversation. Listen to what Proverbs 29:15 says. The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces a mother. It's not a good Mother's Day card greeting, is it? Okay? A rod of correction imparts wisdom. So you're going to discipline your child so they become wise. But if a child is left to himself, they're never going to figure it out. Think about yourself. Do you figure out things on your own? Or do you go and try to be disciplined in an area to learn about it? I'll tell you this. I'm a huge fan of YouTube. Anybody else? YouTube? Okay. Why? Some of you just like to watch people fall down. That's why you watch YouTube. Okay. That's one reason why I like YouTube. But another reason why I really, really like YouTube is if something is wrong with my house in some way, shape, or form, I YouTube it. And, you know, maybe 12 or 15 or 30 videos will come up. But usually between a compilation of all those videos, I can figure out almost any problem that I need to fix by somebody guiding me through with YouTube. So if I didn't have that guidance, what would happen? I'd probably wind up banging my head against the wall because I couldn't fix the problem, or I'd be out a lot of money because I'd have to hire a repairman for every single thing that happens. So the truth be told is this. Children learn about life from their parents, and when they make bad decisions or wrong decisions or dumb decisions, it's the parents' job to come in, discipline, and get them on the straight path. So now when we impart that wisdom, the next thing discipline does is restore peace. Remember in the beginning I said, we all kind of want a peaceful home, don't we? We all kind of want a peaceful home. Well, guess what? You thought that disciplining your child was going to make it so your home was not peaceful. But here's what the scriptures tell us. When you discipline your child, there'll be peace. Get that? Okay? When you discipline your child, there is going to be peace. You might have a time of turmoil, but the end result is going to be peace. Listen to Proverbs 29:17. It says this, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Eventually your child grows to see that the boundaries that you are setting for them are set for them to thrive in their relationship with God, in their relationship with other people and to be successful in this world. Every logically thinking, godly parent wants the best for their children. If you are a child, even an adult child, know that your parents want the best for you, and they will go to extreme levels to make sure the best is happening to you, that you inherit the best, that you walk the best way that you can, that you glorify God the best way that you possibly can. The truth of the matter is when you finally wake up as a child and see that your parents were right and they did what they needed to do, peace is restored. Granted, this might take a while for some families, but the parents are doing right, and the kids will benefit in the long run. So the Proverbs remind us that a biblical parent provides guidance and institutes discipline. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for all the parents and the grandparents and anyone who has a role of responsibility in a child's life in this service and in this church. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we are faithful to provide the guidance that you want us to provide. I pray, Lord, that we are faithful to provide the discipline or institute the discipline that you want us to institute. So I pray, Lord, that you give us the power to do so, the courage, the boldness to do so. It's difficult. But we know that your word is true. Thankful for each person that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we conclude the service,